Thinking about our identity all year, we've been trying to figure out who God has said that we are, who we are as a local church. We are sent people, and what does that mean? We've been thinking about that since September, and so hopefully by now we're getting a sense of who we are as individuals and who we are as the church. If you're a visitor this morning, you're here in a really great morning to Carnmoney. You're here in a great morning as we welcome people and as we continue to think about what is the church. So if you've got questions about church, you've got questions about the Christian faith, you've got questions about the purpose of life, you're really welcome. And we're glad that you've come because we're trying to, as a church, understand who we are and understand what God thinks of us. And in order to help us do that, we're thinking about the call that is on our lives to worship. The call to worship. And to help us do that, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1. And this is God's word to us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us.
Excuse me.
In love, he predestined us and adopted us to be his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. We thank God for his word, and we pray that he would bless it to our hearts. So we're thinking about our identity. We're thinking about the call that is upon our lives, and we're trying to figure out who is it that God says we are as a church and as individuals. They're the kind of questions that you want to be thinking about. Who am I? Who does God say I am? What do people think about me? What does it mean to be a member of the local church? There were two cows in a field as a big milk tanker went past. And on the side of the milk tanker, it said, pasteurized, bottled, and delivered to your door with a silver cap. One of the cows turned to the other and said, makes you feel a bit small, doesn't it? Makes you feel insignificant. And what is it in your life that generates those kinds of feelings? Who is it that you come across that makes you feel small, makes you feel inferior? What situation or circumstance do you find yourself in thinking, they're better than me, she's better than me, that's better than me, and I don't feel like I'm worth very much at all? We encounter situations all the time that make us feel inferior. And it's that kind of context that this letter, Ephesians, is written to. God addresses people who feel inferior, who are feeling like they don't matter that much in comparison to others. You see, this letter was written to people who had become Christians and didn't have Jewish heritage, didn't have Jewish tradition. They'd come into the faith from outside. And Paul, the apostle who writes this letter to people that he cares about, is helping them to think about their feelings of inferiority. Paul cares about this church in Ephesus. He cares about these people, and he understands that they feel inferior. Like any church, they face challenges. because there are some people who are really puffed up and seem like they've got it all together. They seem like their lives are in order, and in comparison to that person, I'm nothing. They're a super giant and a superhero when it comes to matters of spirituality, and I'm just little old me, and my faith doesn't really cut it at all. And what this book of Ephesians does is give us a measuring rod to determine whether we cut it or not in the eyes of God. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to Barry's and you want to know if you're tall enough to get on the Big Dipper, and there's a sign or a measuring point that you go to see. It was never really much of a problem for me, but, you know, am I tall enough to get on the Big Dipper? Am I tall enough to go on this ride or that? The book of Ephesians gives us a measuring rod to see if we're in, if we count, if we matter before God, if we are loved by him or not. It makes it really clear. It speaks out a verdict to these Ephesian Christians and to the world about who is in and who is not, about who is accepted. It helps these people who feel inferior to be encouraged about what God thinks of them and inspires worship of him because they discover who God is. It's an important book that helps people to figure out, what is God's assessment of my life? I mean, if there was a website that you could go to and type your name in to see what God thought of you, I'm sure that website would feature heavily on your search history. Or if there was a clinic you could go to get your blood tested that determined whether God approved of you or not, you would be visiting that place on a regular basis to figure out, what's God's assessment of my life? Whether you're a Christian or not, you're going to at times wonder, if there is a God, what does he think of me? And the book of Ephesians opens our eyes to God's thoughts of us. And so you would know that this is an important book and has significant things to say for the Ephesian church who felt inferior and for you and I today. We get God's assessment of us. You might want to, if there was a website that you could reveal, that revealed to you God's assessment of you, you might want to type in other names as well, wouldn't you? You just kind of, Stephen Nolan. I don't know. You'd be wanting to figure out, like, what do you make of this guy? What do you think of him? What do you think of her? And basically, we get that in the book of Ephesians. We get it revealed to us so clearly, the ground on which God makes assessment of all human beings. Speaks to people who are uncertain. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're uncertain about what God thinks of you. You're not really sure. You can't make your mind up. You're wavering between some kind of faith that's been stirred in your heart and yet a reluctance as well. And you're thinking, what does God actually make of my life? And the book of Ephesians brings real clarity to the spiritually confused. And so we should be so grateful for Scripture, so grateful for this book that speaks today to the situations that you and I find ourselves in. Paul says to this church, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. See what this says? You see what Paul says to the spiritually confused, the spiritually vulnerable, the spiritually inferior? If you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've got every spiritual blessing available. You don't need to feel inferior to anyone. Because if you've got Jesus, then that's all you need. You've been blessed with absolutely everything you need through a relationship with Jesus. There's no top-up required. There's no bolt-on needed. If you are in him, then that's enough. And see how that bolsters the faith of people who feel inferior or unspiritual or insignificant, because God speaks to them and says, all you need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what other people are doing or saying or where they're going or what they're wearing, because none of these things count in the eyes of God. The assessment is not in those areas. The assessment is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And Paul makes it really clear that if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you've got every spiritual blessing available. And you should be encouraged. You've no need for supplements or psychic mediums or horoscopes or any other form of spirituality to help you with your future or help you deal with your past. This is still my favorite picture that I saw in a window of a shop in Carrickfergus. Psychic medium cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances. I mean, that's got to be bad for business, right? That your business is not going well. If you need to cancel your event because there are unforeseen, it doesn't inspire confidence in the ability of this psychic medium. And in the church at Ephesus, there were things like this going on. There were mystics and mediums and magicians who were offering special insight, special knowledge of God, secret things. If you come to me, I'm a spiritual guru and I've got it all sorted out, but it's for a closed little group only. And Paul writes to these people who he cares about deeply and says, don't have anything to do with that nonsense. Don't feel inferior to anyone who's offering you extra spiritual wisdom or insight. It's all available in Jesus Christ. In Him, talking about Jesus, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have received all wisdom, all understanding. All you need to know is found in Him. So, Ross and Lindsay and Andrew and Joanne, as you join our church formally today, I want to encourage you to say, it's about a relationship with Jesus. Don't feel inferior to anybody in this place. Don't feel like you're not cutting it because you hear other people talking about the things that they are doing. You guys have a faith in Jesus, and that's what matters. That's what we're formally welcoming you into today. A simple relationship with Jesus where all wisdom is found, all knowledge is found. And so it's great to welcome you because we're welcoming you because Jesus has forgiven you. It's not about how you perform or how you act or how you behave. You're trusting in someone who behaved for you, who acted for you on your behalf. I'm getting a hard time because my football team won the tournament yesterday, right? I'm getting a hard time about it because I played a very minor role. I made a few phone calls to people who could play football really well and got them in my team. I played in every single game except the final. I had a sore toe in the final. Actually, it was 2-1, right? It was 2-1 in the final. I thought, I am not going to go on and mess this up. We were leading 2-1. I mean, Steven Gerrard slipped and the whole season ended terribly. So I know one mistake can ruin it. So I stayed away and they're giving me a hard time. But the Christian life is all about benefiting from a victory that somebody else achieves for you. I didn't take the field yesterday, but I lifted the trophy first. Like John Terry, right? It's John Terry, you know, just full kit it out, but didn't actually play a part in the final. That's me, right? That's the Christian life. We didn't kick a ball, but we lift the trophy because Jesus has victory for you, for me. And our hope is not in our competence or our ability ever. We get to worship and celebrate here this morning because somebody else played really well in our place. That's what you're welcomed into this morning. You're forgiven because of something that Jesus has done for you. If you have Jesus, you lack nothing. That's what Paul says to this Ephesian church. If you have Jesus, you lack nothing. So that's the call to worship, isn't it? That inspires us to love God because we don't deserve it. We haven't achieved it by our own effort or strength or work. God's done something for us that we don't deserve, and we can't understand why He would pick us, why He would choose us. And as we watch on the screen what God is doing in the life of this church, it evokes the same reaction. Why would you let these things happen among us? Why would you choose to reach so many people through Alpha courses using the people that you've assembled here in Carnmoney Church? We are bowled over. It's all been mercy.
Yeah.
It's all been mercy. that God has enabled us to do these things. If you have Jesus, you lack nothing. Only by trusting your life to him will your past be forgiven, will your future be secure, and will you have power today to overcome the challenges that you face. Only by trusting him will you have hope for your future, forgiveness for your past, and ability, strength, and power to face the challenges that come your way. You need to be confident in the promises of God. Hoping in Jesus impacts all of life. It's not just, oh great, I get to go to heaven when I die, which is something that we should be excited about. Not just, yeah, I get my sin from my past forgiven, but the Holy Spirit indwells your life. God becomes physically present with you so that all this wisdom that is in Jesus is available to you. And because you have a connection with him, it shapes how you interact with other people, how you face challenges in your family and your workplace, and how you cope with a divided society. Jesus is present with us now in the bodies of the people who belong to him through the power of the Holy Spirit who reminds us of the promises of God, who fills us with hope, who is like an alert or a reminder in our lives to trust him, to believe in God, and not to trust ourselves. We don't have any reason to fear. We don't need to hide in the corner singing, "What's that coming over the hill? Is it a monster? Is it a monster?" We don't have any reason to fear, because God, the Holy Spirit, is present within us, alerting us to the hope that we have in Jesus and giving us power to live like him today, to do the things that he has done and even greater things, like it said on the screen. That the church is the body of Christ. And so as we engage in Christians Against Poverty, to get alongside people who have found themselves in debt, we're revealing what Jesus is like to people. People who have found themselves in a difficult situation in weakness, and we reveal to them the strength of Jesus Christ as we get alongside them in practical ways. As we bring food hampers to people who are hungry, we're representing Jesus because we believe that the Bible teaches that everyone has hunger within them that only Jesus can satisfy. And in a practical, physical way, we want to demonstrate the gospel. So here on a Sunday morning, we declare it. We talk about this good news. John or I or Rick or somebody else heralds the good news, tells you what Jesus has done for you. We declare the gospel on a Sunday. But as a church, we want to demonstrate it through the week with our actions and our lives. And those two things go together. If you have Jesus, you lack nothing. He's beaten death, so there's nothing that you can come against that will be a match for him. You've no reason to fear. And so all of this calls us to worship him, calls us to worship who he is and what he's done for us. But you and I know that this is not the only call that is upon your life. You receive calls all the time. I got loads of calls during the week that I just ignored from a number that I didn't recognize, and I finally caved in at about 5 to 7 on Thursday night. They got me, and it was a travel agent offering me a discounted holiday. Never heard of this travel agent, but apparently I filled in a questionnaire in an airport last summer, and they're just following it up. And they were calling for my attention, calling for my money, calling for my time. And I was about 3 seconds into the conversation when I regretted having answered the phone at all. But the problem for me, and I suggest possibly for you too, is that usually the conversation goes more than 3 seconds for some other calls in our lives before we realize that we shouldn't be paying any attention to this call at all. How many times a day do you hear the call to be regarded by other people? How many times a day do you hear the call to be in control? How many times a day do you hear the call to be right? I have to confess, in my life, these calls come all too often. I'm way down the line, more than 3 seconds into those calls before I realize what's going on here. I realize, actually, I'm not even really listening in this conversation with the person because I disagree with them. And I want to interrupt them. And this is about my desire and the call in my life to be right. And so it influences my relationships because I'm thinking, I'm not listening to people properly. I just want to be right. I want to contradict what they're saying. Or the call to be regarded means that I manipulate situations or do things in order to get my name recognized so that people will take notice of me. The call to be in control rises when things don't go as I had planned or thought they would go, and I get angry or upset. And I realize there's a call in my life to be in control. And I hear those calls continually, and I want to say that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, has something to say to these calls so that we don't pick up the phone and give in to them. We get encouragement to trust Jesus in these moments, in the moments when I feel the pressure to make my opinion known, when I feel the pressure to have events unfold the way I want them to unfold. I realize that I'm trying to be Lord. I'm trying to be Savior, and I've forgotten that in Jesus, I have everything I need, that I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Him, so I don't need to exert my control. I need to trust His control. I don't need to believe that I'm right. I can actually say, actually, I got that wrong. I am wrong, and Jesus was right. I'm trusting in the fact that Jesus is right, not that I'm right. And so as a church, as we relate to one another, there's going to be times where we have to say sorry to each other because we're trying to force our own agenda, trying to control situations, trying to be right all the time. We need to get in touch and say, I'm sorry. I was trusting me, not Jesus, in that situation. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus works out everything in conformity with His will. I can trust Him. When things don't go according to my plan, I can trust Him that He is at work. He works out everything in conformity with His will. No matter what situation you want to place in there, I want to say God is working out His purposes in that. And that may be really hard for some of you to hear this morning. I can't say that I know every single circumstance that you've been through or that you will go through or you're going through right now. But just as Paul says to the Ephesian church who feel inferior, vulnerable, frightened, and weak, Paul encourages them and strengthens them by saying, even in this situation, Jesus is Lord, and you can trust Him. Jesus is in control. All that you need to do is trust Him. If you have Jesus, then you lack nothing, and that inspires worship. That enables us to silence the other calls, to be in control, to be regarded, to be right, because we can trust the one who is right. And it silences those calls in our lives. Not all the time. You will get it wrong. You will mess up. Just because you've joined the church this morning doesn't mean that you are now perfect, right? Doesn't mean that you are particularly, specially holy. It means that you belong to the one who is. And He identifies Himself as your Savior and Lord. When the reality of all this stuff touches your life, then it means that it wouldn't matter if somebody forgot your birthday. Yaya Toure was giving off stink because his teammates and his club didn't get him a birthday cake. He's in his 30s, and his employers didn't get him a birthday cake. Rick, have you ever got a birthday cake from church? No, me neither. We need to talk about that. John got a birthday cake publicly, right? Personalized. Do you know what? It's embarrassing to see these guys who are global celebrities huffing because they weren't regarded. We need to say, you know, we're trusting in Jesus. And He is regarded by God. We don't need to be regarded. We don't need to be highly thought of because we're trusting in the one He is highly thought of. So we need to turn away from false sources of identity to the true source of our identity as the church and say that we're hoping in Jesus, we're trusting in Him. We need to turn away from false sources of spirituality and trust in the one who is all wisdom, all understanding, all knowledge. I believe that all of us here this morning, Christian and not, are a called people because you get calls all the time, not just on your mobile phone, but in your head, from your friends, from your neighbors, from your work colleagues. Be this person. and I will like you. Be this person, and I will like you. Spend money here, and we will approve of you. And you receive calls all the time, maybe from your parents or your family or people around you, wanting to condition you, to shape your identity, and to mold who you are. The really good news of the gospel is that you are called holy because you trust in the one who is holy. You are called forgiven because Jesus has achieved forgiveness for you. On the 2nd of April, I got this notification on my mobile phone, and it said, "We've got a fever, and the only prescription is more exercise." This is an application that I use to when I'm out running. It records how far I have run, and it tells me the time it takes me to run that distance. And this was just a little reminder on my phone that we've got a fever and the only prescription is more exercise. That's not good news. That's not encouraging. I'm like, really? You want me to keep running more? The Bible says that we've got a fever and the only prescription is Jesus. That's advice. That's, here's what you've got to do, here's what you've got to do, here's what you've got to do. But the Bible says it is finished. Jesus has done everything that needs to be done in order for you to be acceptable to God. You don't need to do anything. You're welcomed by what Jesus has already done. More recently, I saw this photograph on Instagram by former footballer Kenny Sampson. The only person that can save you is you. Can't even spell only. So how are you going to save yourself? You can't even spell only. Come on. We realize that we are out of our depth here. Do you realize that you're out of your depth? That you need a savior? You need a rescuer? That's why we worship as the church, because God has provided for us a rescuer to cover all our mistakes, all our sin, all our weakness, and his strength more than compensates. His grace is sufficient. We will never worship Jesus as we should until we realize that we cannot save ourselves, until we realize that we are totally dependent upon him for life and godliness. So why not read the book of Ephesians this week? It's only 6 chapters, take you 20 minutes. Just read the book of Ephesians and ask yourself, who does God say I am in this book? It's a measuring rod that helps you to know God's assessment of your life. Figure out all the things that you are in Jesus. You'll see that phrase over and over and over again in the book of Ephesians, that in him you are forgiven. In him you are adopted into his family. In him the dividing wall between race and religion is demolished. Between male and female is demolished because we are in him and we are one in him. We are accepted by him. Why not read the book of Ephesians this week and ask yourself, what does this book say about me? What does this reveal about me? What does a relationship with Jesus provide? If you have Jesus, you lack nothing. That calls you to worship him because he's provided everything you need. You need not fear when the tanker goes past saying, pasteurized, bottled, and delivered to your door with a shiny silver cap. Who cares? I don't need to feel inferior to anyone because I am in a relationship with Jesus Christ.